today on Real Life Radio.
Man, when it starts going dark, or when you start going down, or when everything, listen, begins to evaporate, you'll wake up to the truth, like Jesus is trying to get these disciples to figure out. You have the name of the Lord. You think you know so much? You don't know so much. We don't know so much.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, no matter what you're facing these days, God is there in the bad times as well as the good times. But when life suddenly takes a turn for the worst, you know God's there, but you still might be wondering if He really cares. We get this idea stuck in our heads that God has more important things to do than to help us with our problems. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We can rest in God's strength, and He's always nearer to us than we'll ever know. So if that sounds like you, our current featured resource is going to help and encourage you to gain a new outlook on life. It's called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's written by Ed Heinsohn. It's a resource packed with biblical truths on how to face a crisis with confidence and turn problems into opportunities. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's a must-read if you want to conquer your anxiety, your disappointment, or even feelings of guilt and failure. And we've made this book available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 3. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how our strength is simply in God alone. You see, God always does what He's promised. He has identified Himself with us, sacrificed Himself through Jesus for us, and He's presented Himself to us. This makes us able to continue in challenging times. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that as humans, we resist spiritual truths and find it hard to submit to God. Still, God knows what little strength we have, and He wants us to draw our strength from Him. Now with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Who else do we ask to bless us? You alone are the blesser. Like Peter, we say, where else can we go? To whom shall we go? You're the only one. And Lord, we're very glad that you're the only one. The world has all of its mouth blabbing about this and about that and trying to do this and do the other thing when you're the only one. You're the only one. And today, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would take your word and change our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, Luke 22, and we are for the final time. I mean it. In verses 35 to 39, as we are in part 3, in the last part of this message entitled, The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days. The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, part 3, follow along with me in verse 35. Jesus said to them, that's the disciples, when I sent you out without a money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a sleeping bag, knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And now you remember, church, you were here last week, he quotes a portion of Isaiah 53. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. We'll find out what that means in a moment. It's quite fascinating. Now coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples followed him. Church, just by way of review, real quickly. Number one, the first point on part one regarding the Christian strength in difficult times, we learned this about what Jesus was saying. Number one was this in verses 35 to 36, is that God has promised to provide for us. And this is important. You say, Jack, you've been saying that for 3 weeks. I might say it for four if you're not careful. Because God has promised to provide for us. And we looked at what that meant. Number one, Jesus is teaching his disciples before he goes back to heaven, and certainly before he goes to the cross, that he has proven himself faithful. God is faithful to always provide for us what we need, not necessarily what we want, because what we want can hurt us. But what we need comes from God. Very important. Number two is the fact that he called us to do the same. He called us to be faithful. That's why he told the disciples in those verses 35 to 36, when he said to them, "Did you lack anything when I sent you out?" Answer, no. Okay, now, he says, but I'm going to tell you this. Why? Well, because I'm going to the cross and then I'm going back to where I came from. So this is the important thing. That you now take a money bag with you, because you didn't need one before because I took care of you that way. Now you take a money bag with you. You got a sleeping bag? My New King James says knapsack. That sounds kind of cute. You see this little boy kicking a can with his little stick and a little bundle of toys or something hanging behind that. Well, that's not what it means by knapsack. It is take your sleeping bag. Because before when I sent you out, people opened their doors and said, come on in. You work for Jesus? Yep, come on in. Now the world's going to be hostile and they're going to slam the door in your face. So as you travel out in the world, wherever you go, as a Christian, you're not going to be welcome, so you need to be prepared. So you take a sleeping bag with you, and you're going to need some money for the ministry. And on top of that, you're going to need some sandals. And I love that, what's implied. Not only sandals, meaning that they're going to lay down some ground. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 28, go ye therefore into all the world? Yes, he did. And so what's important about that is you and I need to be asking the Lord, Lord, you've already told me to go, so I should be asking you, do you want me to stay? See, he's already told us to go. Jesus says, take some sandals and hit the road. Well, that means that the believer needs to be asking the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to go with your gospel? I got to go somewhere. You already told me to go in the Bible. I don't need to pray about going. I need to pray about where to go. Listen, it could be Sacramento, could be Washington, could be Sepulveda, could be El Segundo, could be Whittier, could be Anaheim, could be fill in the blank. Let me ask you this. Where do you go to work? Where do you live? What sphere of influence do you have given to you by God? Then take the gospel with you. Put those sandals on, Christian, and go, because there's a hurting world of people out there. Very important. And not only that, but Jesus says something pretty amazing. He says to them that if you have a garment now, go and sell it and buy a sword. You need to be able to realize, Christian, that you live in a very dangerous, hostile world that will just slit your throat just for fun. So you need to be able to protect your home. We covered that for the last 2 weeks. If you were not here, get the CD or the DVD or go online and view it. It's very important. Now, very quickly, point two last week, Jesus was teaching them that he does what he's promised. God will always be faithful in three areas. And we saw this, that he identifies himself with us. Aren't you glad? Aren't we glad? It says there in verse 37 that he was numbered with the transgressors. And we studied what that meant. Jesus was giving them an announcement that God himself, from all the passages we looked at last week, that God in human flesh would go to the cross. And Jesus was announcing to them the word of God's being fulfilled. He says, for the things concerning me have an end. There's a purpose to everything that's going on. And not only is that true, but I will identify with you in your life in this world. We also learned that he sacrificed himself for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's not another one, and there will be no other sacrifice. It was Jesus Christ, which in that announced to us that final point of last week is that he presents himself to us and to the world. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. What an awesome statement. So here we go, third and final point. It's right here this morning, verses 38 to 39, and it is this. The Christian strength in difficult days is simply the Lord himself. You say, Jack, I drove that far to hear that? Absolutely. Let me tell you, friend, you don't need anything more than that. You can get all fancy with stuff. You ever seen guys who want to get fancy and they have like a Pinto? You know what a Pinto, you young people, you don't know what a Pinto is. But they got big wheels on, they got big headers. You know, and they're like, hey, what's going on there? You're trying to be something. You're trying to put on something. You're trying to announce something that's not real. The truth of the matter is, God is all we need. So yeah, man, what am I supposed to hear in church? God is all you need. That's what I'm supposed to hear in church. But listen, I'm telling you the truth. Do you really have him? Because if you really have him, it's going to matter in life. Jesus is saying, I'm going home soon. Do you have all that I've promised you that I want to provide for you? And that starts with the Lord being the Lord in your life. Amen. It's very, very vital. So watch this. Mark it, verse 38. So they said, it's sad but funny at the same time. So they said, that is to Jesus, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. You see those words, it is enough? That sounds really nice in English. It sounds like Jesus says, awesome, two swords? That's enough to take on the whole Roman Empire. Two swords? Awesome. You'll be able to protect the whole work of ministry all around the world. That's not what he said. He said, it's enough. The word means you're not getting a word I'm saying. That's what it means. He says, basically, we would say, I've had enough. You're not getting it. She said, Jack, how do you know? Well, not only is that the meaning in the Greek language, notice what he said. He focuses on sandals and a knapsack and having the money and then the swords. And of course, it's a bunch of guys. So what do they focus on? Peter didn't say, gosh, are these nice sandals? I've got two pairs of sandals. I've got 24 in my closet at home. They didn't focus on that. They didn't go through their robes for loose change and say, we've got 25 bucks. They didn't say that. They're guys. What do they say? We've got two swords. That's what guys do. Jesus said, you know what? The sandals are good. The money's fine. The swords are okay. You're not getting what I'm talking to you about. You're missing it. You're stuck in the earthly plane. I'm trying to get you guys to be thinking above all that. That stuff is just tools to get the ministry on its way. It's what you're taking in the name of God. It is the ministry itself. Those tools don't matter compared to the message. Which brings us to this understanding. He knows how little we know. That's what he's saying to them. You know what's fun about getting older? Great. Because you get to watch young people struggle through stuff that they will not listen to you when you tell them. So then you just back up and say, okay, well. And it's now, listen, isn't it great? Because now you just tell them, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. Oh, what do you know, you old geezer, you? And then you see this little cloud of smoke plume over their head. I told you not to stick that fork in that socket like that. Didn't I tell you? Listen, it's amazing. We think we know so much. As a culture, we're very proud about how much we know. I got news for you. We don't know. In fact, the more you study, the more you learn, the more you know that you don't know very much. Well, Jack, speak for yourself. I'm an expert in astrophysics. If you're intellectually honest, you will say, I'm a astrophysicist, and the more we learn, the more we're leaning toward belief and faith in God because it's over the top beyond explanation. If you're a molecular biologist, you say, well, you know what? And isn't this true? I knew so much in school, and now I'm really working out there in the world, and I ain't as smart as I thought I was. Einstein, I can't quote him right now because I'm hungry, I guess. I don't know why. Low blood sugar or something. I don't know. But Einstein said something about when he got to the end of his life, it's like, hey, I don't know so much after all. That's a real smart thing to wake up to the fact that you don't know so much. Boy, couldn't Congress have listened to us and had that dependence on God last night? Huh? You guys know what happened last night? Okay, you guys are smarter than first. Okay, well, it's amazing. We think we know so much. And the reality is we need to be dependent upon God. Jesus is telling them. Bottom line, the Lord is all you need.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Proverbs, mark it down. You're going to want to, I know, because first service, they said, can you repeat the verse? I'll give it to you twice. But this is a good one. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. You know what's fun about that? You don't need to know much. If you've ever been with us to Israel, you will come to the rocks and to the fortresses, the rocky crags of En Gedi, where David hung out. And I have no doubt in my mind that God taught King David how to hide from Saul, who was after him because he makes mention of it in one of his psalms about the rock badger, the coney. It looks like a gigantic hamster. It's about that big. It's huge. Cute thing. Looks just like a rock with fur on it. It does. It looks like a furry rock. And it has no defense mechanisms on it whatsoever. It has got nothing. You just want to hold him. He's so cute. Everyone gets off the bus and goes, oh, look at that thing. And the moment you try to go up to it, you know where it goes? It runs right into the really gnarly rocks there in En Gedi, where David hid out. And he hides in there and he looks out through the cracks of the rocks, and you ain't going to get him. You know what his strength is? The rocks. The Bible says right here, Proverbs 18:10, that we are to run. Listen, it is the name of the Lord that's that strong tower that we run into, and the righteous are safe. Christian, our strength in difficult days, all the experts are telling us, gonna get harder, gonna get tougher. I was gonna show you a clip this morning, but I'll show it to you in a few weeks when we do our months and whatever the prophecy thing is, the conference. It's amazing. NBC Financial News recorded. I have it, and you'll see it. You'll see it. And the guy's talking about how to invest and what should we do next and what do you think about this and that. And if I hear again one more commercial about gold, it drives me nuts. And they're talking and they're talking. And this guy is some super Wall Street global wizard in economics. And the guy goes, he had to be a Christian or completely drunk. Because he's like this. Yeah, Bill, what do you want to ask me? Well, we want to know what's going on in the world's economy and what's going to happen. And when will the dollar bounce back? And he goes, the dollar's not going to bounce back, Bill. The dollar's going to take a total tank. Mathematically, it's over for the U.S. dollar. What we need is one currency around the world, one global government, and one global state. Hello? I've been reading that in my Bible since I got saved. That's been written in the Bible for 2,000 years. And the guy says it on NBC like it's the answer. And there was nobody in the room, but I wanted to tell somebody when I heard that. I was like, this is amazing. You said, Jack, what do you mean the dollar's not going to bounce? Oh, come on. Listen, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because his name is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. You say, well, hell, that's going to pay my bills. You won't have any bills. On paper, the United States is the poorest country on the planet. Well, I got... Why is it so quiet? Didn't you know that? We are the poorest country in the world on paper. More Americans are in debt more than any other people on planet. So check it out. Well, how can this help me? Because all you will have is the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower, which you will run into or we will drag you for safety. When a push comes to shove, listen, we had somebody go down first service. I didn't know what was going on. Somebody was over there. Fire trucks came, everybody, and I'm thinking, oh, man. Well, you know what? It was so cute because we just got a phone call at the hospital, and I was told just before second service started, she's pregnant, her blood sugar plummeted, and just before she almost passed out, and she is so cute. She told Penny, she said, tell Pastor Jack, I was really loving the message until that was her word. It's like, oh. Man, when it starts going dark or when you start going down or when everything, listen, begins to evaporate, you'll wake up to the truth, like Jesus is trying to get these disciples to figure out. You have the name of the Lord. You think you know so much? You don't know so much. We don't know so much. We think we know so much? We don't. Psalm 61:1. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Now stop right there. We'll keep reading, but stop right there. Somebody might say, what a baby. Who's that guy who wrote that? Oh, he may cry, oh God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. Wasn't the guy just step up and be a man? Hello, excuse me. That's King David, who I would love to see you in a sword fight with. You want to talk man? That's a man. King David, you're going to tell David, were you crying out to God? Hey, David is running to the Lord knowing that he's my strong tower. Like that little big oversized hamster thing. He runs into the rock and he's strong. He doesn't need guns. He doesn't need a little turret on top of his head. He doesn't need to do that. Why? He has the rock. What are you going to run to? David said, listen, I'm the general of the Israeli forces and I'm going to be king. God told me. And he ran to the rock. He ran to the tower and he cried out to God. You would think in the flesh, in criticizing him, isn't he weak? He's just crying out there. Let me tell you something about Christianity. Watch out. There's an old hymn that says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I like that. Can you imagine in heaven if we could just see the spirit realm? When we're weak and we're crying out to God and we're overwhelmed and we fall on our knees, Father! I bet you Satan just gets goosebumps because one of God's kids is crying out to Dad. And I don't know about you, but my brain works in a cartoon sense. I see everything. I see you like a cartoon. Some doctor said, I'll see you after service. But to me, I see things differently. When I see that happen, I just see color all around it and then a funny thing happening. And when I see David fall on his knees and say, I'm overwhelmed, God, and I need you. I see my Father in heaven rolling up his sleeves and coming to our rescue. We ain't got nobody but him. You say, man, that's kind of sad. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, that's the greatest strength of all. And you know it's true. Even if you're here today and you're an evolutionary biologist, Satan-loving, Darwinian maniac, you know down deep inside, when you get hit really hard in life, isn't it funny? You don't believe in God and you call out to him when you get hit really hard in life. Think about that. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Isn't that beautiful? For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like a wild flower. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we're gone as though we had never been here. Well, okay. I like when it says right there, you say, Jack, how can that bless me? Well, verse 14 says, he knows our frame. You know what that, he knows how we're made. Now, you know what, again, you might say, well, I've been pretty good. Feeling good. Did some sit-ups this morning. Ran a little bit. Feel good. He knows my frame. My frame's fine. Oh, wait a minute. God says our frame is dust. Okay? So think about that. He is so good. He knows how little we know. And he wants us to run to him. My friend, when God's kids cry out to him and pray and wait and be patient before the Lord, God begins to move. He's amazing because you know what? If we think we know so much and he lets us run ahead and we get in all kinds of trouble and then we cry, God, what happened? And he's going, hey, I'm back here, knucklehead. Come over here. I didn't go that way. I didn't even tell you to go that way. Slow down. Wait upon the Lord. He knows all. We don't. Also this, he knows what little strength we have. We have little strength. Jesus is telling the disciples, I want you to go. I want you to be faithful in all these areas. And you have a little strength in that. We all know what that's like. It's that temptation that men have predominantly. I can do it. But honey, why don't you read the instructions? They're right here in the box. That does not look like a bicycle to me. It's going to come out. It's going to be coming out. Okay. There's something about us. It's like, men don't read maps and instructions. And I don't know what women have a struggle with, but we have just enough strength to get ourselves in trouble. You notice that? I'll take care of it, God. You can go rescue somebody. I'll take care of this problem. Not good.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 3. So glad you could spend some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? When you just can't take it anymore, does that sound familiar? Well, my friend, Dr. Ed Heinsohn, has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinzen. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.